everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Farm Bureau on the Hill, the podcast where we bring you the latest from the state capitol in Nashville and all other policy-related issues. I'm Thomas Capps, joined with Shelby Vinoy with our Public Policy Division here at the Tennessee Farm Bureau Federation. Shelby, how's it going?
It's great. We've had an amazing week in Nashville.
It's been a great week. Had a lot of you all listening, perhaps, may have been up on the Hill at our legislative visits, and it really is impressive when you see all the Farm Bureau people up on the Hill and just everybody in the hallway meeting and conversing with their lawmakers. Really a great time.
Yeah, and I am immune to days on the Hill. Every advocacy group in Tennessee, I think, has their moment in Nashville. But I think what makes ours special is just that they not only come out in droves. We had well close to 300 people that were there meeting with their lawmakers, but I don't know how many instances I saw of our folks mingling with people who weren't lawmakers in the halls, that they maybe saw a friend from their county. I saw one of our board members who ran into a state trooper that works at the Capitol that he knew, that there was just 300 friendly faces in Nashville that you couldn't walk a single hall in the legislature without running into someone with Farm Bureau for 2 days this week. And it was one of those that we woke up this morning, and if our cup wasn't full, then we must have had a hole in the bottom of it, because it's just been such a great week with our folks.
And when you talk to the lawmakers, they enjoy it. A lot of our lawmakers and our Farm Bureau members, they've formed a bond and a relationship with one another, and that makes a world of difference when we get into these particular policy issues that we advocate for and push for on the Hill. Those relationships formed can either make or break a bill.
Absolutely. And especially when we start having those tough conversations, it's easier to have a conversation that's perhaps a little bit more difficult with a friend than with a random stranger. So I think our folks do an amazing job of getting to know their lawmakers when they're back home in the district and keeping them informed, whether it's coming to an annual meeting or hosting a legislative breakfast. There's several of those going on right now. And I think, too, we're well into three months into session, and everyone's tired. Fuses are incredibly short, so for them to have a group of friendly faces from back home come in and talk about our priority issues, which was their goal, but to just do a heart check and see how they're doing, see what those lawmakers are working on, and I would hope that most of them ended their conversation with, is there anything we can do to be helpful for you? I think that means a lot more to a lawmaker than people realize, so I'm just thrilled that we had such a good week.
Yeah, job well done by everyone who was up on the Hill this week. And as you mentioned, they brought the priority issues directly to their lawmakers. And really the issue at the top of everyone's list was the farmland preservation bill that we've been pushing for, advocating for. And last week had a little bit of a setback, but some things may be moving in the right direction with that now.
I'm in a much more optimistic headspace this Thursday than I was last Thursday when we recorded, Thomas. Not only did we have our members calling their lawmakers and just, if anything, of course, encouraging them to pass this legislation, but it at minimum, just continue the conversation with us and with the other stakeholders who are involved. And I think we've made leaps and bounds this week, particularly in the Senate Energy Committee. We had a great meeting with the chairman earlier this week, as well as some other members of the committee. And I think we have finally declared a path forward. Now we just have to get it there. So I think our team and the Department of Agriculture, they have some homework that they have to do, and we've got some answers we've got to get to the chairman. We promise to alleviate any concerns the committee had, so that's our plan. But I definitely can see a better path forward this week than I did at this point last week. So, and of course, we're still trucking along in the House. The House Bill 1890 is going to be in the Government Operations Committee Monday. So once again, we will see that legislation. We're looking forward to Representative Grills presenting that. And in the meantime, we're working diligently in the Senate to make sure that Leader Johnson has everything he needs to pick up when that committee reopens.
And this bill, again, really just focusing on giving farmers the option to protect their land from development. Nothing that's mandated, an optional state program that would hopefully encourage farming to continue on that land as opposed to development.
Completely voluntary program that if anything, it just allows, you know, you as a farmer to allow the Department of Agriculture to hold on to that development right, so you aren't having to deal with that pressure anymore. So there's still a lot of conversation about what that rules process will look like, because it does give the department a lot of flexibility. But at its core, It is an option that has a timestamp on it. So it's not a forever. You're going to be, once you decide to do it, you're locked into it. It's a generational program that we hope will try to mitigate some of the sprawl we're seeing in our rural areas.
And not a conservation easement and not a trust, something Correct. Completely different on its own.
Yep. And 29 other states have a program similar to this one. But as we do here in Tennessee, this one is completely unique compared to the others. It is 100% state funded, state operated. So I do think that we could be setting an example nationwide for how to do this right. And I'm optimistic, and maybe that's not good of me, but I think we have the opportunity to make history with this.
Well, and a reminder, we do still have an action alert mm-hmm. out on this particular bill. You can find that in this legislative alert or on our website, tnfarmbureau.org. Another priority issue is the constitutional amendment that would essentially prohibit a state property tax from ever being enacted. Where are we at on that?
We had great success this week in the Senate Finance Committee. We had lots of great support and conversation, so that will head to the Senate floor. And constitutional amendments, I feel like I've said I don't know how many times, they're a finicky thing for many different reasons. One of those finicky things is that they have to be read three times on the floor before a vote can be cast. So although the HJR 81 may be calendared for as soon as next week, it would at the earliest be the following week before a vote is counted on that. So it'll be read on the floor, for example, this coming Monday, and then it would be read a second time on Thursday when they go to the floor. And so at the earliest, the vote would be taken the following Monday, which I believe is the 25th. So hopefully by the end of the month, we'll have great news there. But we'll, in the meantime, we'll look forward to hearing the clerk read it three times.
And a constitutional amendment, a multi-step process. So if it does pass, what happens after that?
If it does pass, we kind of wait in the wings for next January, where we will come back to the General Assembly, hopefully with the original two sponsors. But we'll have the exact same language filed in the 114th General Assembly. It'll go through the exact same committee process where it has to run through both the House and the Senate. But instead of a simple majority this time, it has to obtain a two-thirds majority. And this sounds daunting, but we passed the House last year with well over a two-thirds. So I think we're in a good spot. But assuming that happens and it passes with two-thirds in both the House and the Senate, then when you all, the listeners, go vote for governor in 2026, this would be one of those ballot questions that they would ask you. So make sure you vote yes if we get there.
So this priority issue, definitely one that we got to see out through the long term.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Many years to come.
Another bill that we've been tracking has to do with whole milk in schools. Some good news on that this week.
Yeah, this is one that I think it's a super bipartisan issue. We all love a good glass of ice cold whole milk. And this is one that we took some pages out of Washington, which I know sounds rare that we would do that. But we have passed in the Senate the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act. It unanimously passed. So like I said, very much bipartisan issue. As amended, the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act emphasizes not only the nutritional benefits of whole milk, but it also charges public schools to consider adding whole milk as an option. It's permissive, which means that they don't have to do it, but it does give school boards and local education agencies the permission, so to speak, that if they want to create a plan to reintroduce whole milk into their schools, they can do that.
Well, that's great news for dairy farmers and also great news for our kids because, you know, it's kind of been a stigma out there that whole milk, it's not really good for you. But as we know, it's part of the what you need to build those strong, healthy bones.
Yep. We're super proud of Senator Nicely and Representative Cochran for their work on that. They are huge advocates for the dairy industry, so appreciate their work.
Another bill that we've been following has to do with the state vet, the power that the state vet might have in the event of an emergency outbreak of, mm-hmm. of disease of some sort. And that one we've been following this week. What's an update on that?
So that was one of those issues last week. We didn't issue an action alert, but we issued an action. It's kind of like the difference in a watch and a warning in meteorology. We had an action watch out there. But House Bill 2801 was scheduled to be heard in the House Agriculture Full Committee Wednesday. But the committee spent the entirety of their committee listening to more discussion about the wetlands bill, which we can talk about later. So they did not get to have a discussion and vote on that. So it's recalendered for next Wednesday, the 20th. we still have a lot of concerns with this legislation. We've been talking to the committee and the sponsor and the chairman, and we just think that it's not good policy precedent to set. So we still are in a state of opposition for that legislation, and would just encourage you that if you've got a lawmaker on that committee that maybe you've already talked to him over the weekend, maybe do a little check-in with him and make sure that they still hear your position that we would have concerns if this became law.
And then our other two priority issues, some movement in that in committee?
That's right. So next week, we have the solar TASR implementation. It'll continue its journey in the House Finance Full Committee. It unanimously passed out of the subcommittee on Wednesday. We were happy to see some of our folks in the room for when that bill passed. Representative Hurt, as usual, did a great job. So that will go before the Finance Full Committee. From there, it'll go hopefully to the floor the following week. So looking forward to having that off of our plate and officially headed to the governor's desk by the end of March. And then our other priority issue, the Greenbelt cap acreage increase, will be in the Property and Planning Subcommittee on Wednesday, March the 20th. And again, the House amendment seeks to increase the acreage cap to 3,000 acres compared to where it currently sits at 1,500. So we met with the chairman this week, and this is one that if you've been around Farm Bureau for any amount of time, you know that this has been a priority issue year after year after year. But the chairman said, let's just see what happens in committee. So that's what we're going to do, Thomas.
Going to wait and see.
Yep.
And then we've been talking about this eminent domain bill for several weeks now. Almost seems like deja vu and in some ways, you know, the Groundhog Day, you know, it's not Groundhog Day.
Nope.
but what about that bill? What have we seen happen with that this week?
I think we are finally coming to the end of this journey, Thomas. Both of the bills, so Senate Bill 1983 and Senate Bill 1984, are headed to the Senate floor next week. And then both of those, as we've mentioned time and time again, have to do with eminent domain, both the evidence of when eminent domain is going to be applied and then if eminent domain can be applied to parks and recreation. So both of those moving in the Senate, one of which relative to the evidence in which eminent domain can be exerted has already passed the House. The one relative to parks and recreation will be in the finance subcommittee this week, and we're supportive of both of those initiatives.
Then another bill, again, we've been talking about it for several weeks now, and you alluded to it earlier, but the wetlands bill seems like that's the bill that we just keep hearing about.
I will be more surprised when we stop hearing about the wetlands legislation because it has been such a constant in committee. Once again, the Ag Full Committee heard it on Wednesday, and those committees typically are only allotted an hour and a half to have their meeting. So after a presentation from the Waste and Recycling, there was an organization that represents Waste and Recycling that gave a PowerPoint. Once they completed their business, we got to item number one on the calendar, which was the wetlands bill, and we did not make it any farther than that. So because there was another committee literally coming in the room as we were leaving, so they did have to make a motion to adjourn, which inadvertently rolls it to the following week. So I think members of the committee feel about the same as we do, Thomas, where how in the world are we still talking about this almost 9 weeks in? I would hope, maybe anticipate, we'll get a vote or at least come to some conclusion next week on the wetlands bills so we can hear the rest of the Ag Full calendar. As far as any new amendments or anything breaking news with that, I don't have anything. Mostly at this point, it's just been testimony and discussion. So hopefully once this bill comes out of committee and we know kind of what that final version looks like, we can dive a little bit deeper into it. But for now, just know that you'll hear about it again next week.
Well, all in all, sounds like a pretty positive week on the Hill. A lot of our priority issues moving in the right direction. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, it's always a great week when we have our Farm Bureau members up on the Hill with us. And advocating side by side is one united voice.
That's right. And anytime we can get to almost the middle of March and still have all four of our priority issues either already passed or alive and well, it's a really good sign. So we're shaping up. Things are shaping up well to round out March.
Well, next week will be another busy week. Tuesday, actually, Ag Day.
Woo-hoo.
And we'll have Ag Day on the Hill. Always a fun day. Tell us a little bit about that. I know you've been heavily involved in helping plan that and get that together. It's going to be a fun day.
I'm super excited. I've had the pleasure of attending Ag Day as a student when I interned in the General Assembly, and now have the pleasure of kind of working with the planning committee on that effort. It is, in my opinion, the best day on the Hill. And it is just a great opportunity to showcase everything the agriculture industry has to offer, whether it's youth livestock exhibitors. We like to have them take a photo on the Capitol steps to acknowledge their success. The governor is obviously a huge advocate for agriculture. He loves being a part of the day, so we expect him to be there. We'll have live animals on the Beth Harwell Plaza. Not many organizations can say they do that. So we'll have livestock from across Tennessee there. We'll also have several ag industry partners set up in the courtyard area. We'll have state departments and agencies, advocacy groups, commodity organizations, you name it. They're probably represented. And then, of course, we can't have an event without serving food. So we'll serve a protein biscuit, whether it's ribeyes, pork chop, or chicken, to lawmakers that morning, and then host a little bit of a friendly competition between the House and the Senate and the executive branch. And honestly, I don't know that this has been released news yet, but it seems we may have some interest from the judicial branch as well this year. Oh. So let's just say that if you're Governor Lee or Commissioner Hatcher or a member of the House or Senate that plans to compete, I hope you're doing some arm workouts over the weekend before that straw bale toss on Tuesday.
Always a fun time, and you're invited. If you're listening to this podcast, we'd love to have you. Anyone in agriculture is invited. And, you know, this is a great way for lawmakers that might be from more urban areas to be exposed to agriculture. They may never get to see farm animals up close or really get to learn a whole lot about the industry. So it's a great avenue for us to connect with them on a personal level. And as we said, it's just fun.
Yep. There's so many lawmakers that they have their story that connects them to agriculture. But for those that maybe are in rural areas, this is what connects them to agriculture. This is, they tell stories about Ag Day as they're how they learned about something in agriculture. So while I love getting to see those lawmakers out there that are from rural areas or were former Farm Bureau members, we expect to see them out there. It's really those from our urbanmost areas to see them hold a baby goat or to interact with maybe a commodity organization or just watch the contest and hear remarks from the commissioner. I think that is the point of having Ag Day on the Hill. So, and there's a contest going on, right, Thomas, between the counties?
I believe that's right. Yeah. We had sent out a toolkit, you know, to, because it's not just Ag Day, it's Ag Week.
Yeah.
All of next week is Ag Week. So your local county farm bureau should have gotten that toolkit, some tools that you can use to help promote Ag Week, and, you know, maybe put an ad in your newspaper or an ad on your radio station, all kinds of ways that you can promote agriculture, even simple ways. You know, there are some graphics that we send out that you can post on your social media pages and whatnot. So, yeah, competition out there. You can see your county farm bureau for more information on that. But it's going to be a great Ag Day on the Hill and a great Ag Week as we celebrate our nation's most important industry.
Amen. I'm pumped.
Remember, you can also get the latest updates on policy issues and other ag-related news at tnfarmbureau.org or by following the Tennessee Farm Bureau Federation on Facebook, X, and Instagram. I'm Thomas Capps. This is Farm Bureau on the Hill.